Blog Talk Radio.
Our scripture tonight is coming from 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians, New Testament 5, and it reads, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in the tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is immortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for his very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what it is." Verse 8 reads, "Therefore, sisters and brothers, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." Verse 9 reads, "So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it." And our last verse tonight, verse 10, "Take comfort in it. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Verse 10, just one more time. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And maybe we should take out a moment and just put our names in there. What about it, huh? So, Vaughn, you must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body. So by everything that you've done while in this body, you are going to receive what is due to you, whether good, whether bad. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the reading of your word, dear Father, and the doers of your word, dear Father. Bless their heart as they go out to search and do the things, dear Father, that your word is given to us and representing to us, dear Father. And we invite your word just to come and live inside of us and stick to our hearts, dear Father, like glue. We thank you, Jesus, for all the provisions that you make for us each and every day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Oh, we thank you for jobs, dear Father, today. We ask in you, dear Father, to just open the doors, dear Father, for those people that are just seeking your guidance right now, dear Father. Dear Father, they're just seeking your guidance, blocking everything else, letting this world just fade away. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, for being there for us. Thank you for just dwelling in the midst of wherever that we're praising and worshiping you in the midst of. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you are. We pray for each and every person all around the universe. Dear Father, and I just like to intercede for those that are believing for miraculous things to happen in their lives tonight. I just join with them, dear Father, in just prayer. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for women in Christ. I thank you for tri-anointed women. I thank you, dear Father, for all of the organizations that are really seeking you, Jesus, reaching out into the world to do your will, to tell somebody about your goodness, to share your love with somebody. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the missionaries. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and not just titles that people hold. Forget about the titles, but what's in their heart. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And I say thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of those that won't say thank you today. For all of the blessings that you bestowed on them, and they still will not say thank you. That they get too excited and go another way and still won't say thank you. So, dear Father, I ask that you receive my thank you, Jesus, from the depths of my heart. for all of the blessings. I thank you for blessing Cheryl and her family today. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just sweetness. Your word, your presence, you are just so sweet. Just dripping with love. Just dripping with joy. Just dripping with peace and understanding. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then may I decrease. And we just invite you to come and increase and just share with you, teach us your word, like only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Inheriting God's promises is what we want to do. We're here because we want to inherit God's promises. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord wouldn't have made all the promises in the Bible if he didn't want to give his children great blessings. And then yet sometimes we cannot be, we have to make sure that we're not being presumptuous and simply assume that each benefit automatically belongs to us. Sometimes we can get to the point that we just assume that it has to come to us. It just belongs to us. We forget about it. It's the goodness of God. He wants to do this. It's his goodness. It's nothing that we've done. It's nothing that we say. We can't earn enough titles before our name, or we can't get enough degrees. We can't say enough things. I don't care how intelligent we think we are. That will not get us. It doesn't make us to a point that he has to do anything for us. So we shouldn't just assume that such benefits automatically belong to us. So how can we claim God's promise with the expectation that he will take pleasure in answering our petition? Well, there are certain questions that we must ask in order to just test the needs that we bring before our Heavenly Father. Now, these include some of these. Number one, like, does the promise meet my personal need or desire? Write that down. Does the promise meet my personal need or is it a desire? And we spoke about the desires of your heart. If you did not listen to that, please go back and go download that series so you can understand that whole story. What he said when he said that he will give you the desires of your heart. You want to get those desires. Now listen to find out exactly what that means and how you can get that happening to you in your life. So the second thing I want you to write down is when we look at the certain questions that we're testing the questions to make sure that if it is a need, to separate it from a need, or is it a desire before we present it to our Heavenly Father? And then one would be, am I asking with a spirit of submissiveness to his will? Amen? Amen. Number three. It says, can God fulfill this request without telling another person or interfering with his will in someone else's life? You know, sometimes the flesh is selfish. And if it's so selfish and you say, me, 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 and I really don't care if someone else is hurt in the meantime, I really don't care if it blocks God's will in somebody else's life. But, oh, Lord, bless me. Oh, Lord, it's me, it's me, it's me, bless me. Me and my four and no more. That's not the way that God works. That's not the way that God works. So when you cry and those prayers aren't getting answered, maybe this is one of your reasons. We have to reevaluate before some of our questions, before we bring them before our Heavenly Father. Remember, he is our Heavenly Father. Amen? Let's continue, shall we? Let's ask ourselves, does the Holy Spirit bear witness to my spirit that the petition pleases God? Now that's pretty deep. You gotta know how to connect both, right? God is spirit. If you've invited the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you, this should connect. So again, if the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, does it bear witness? Can it witness to you? Do you feel like the Holy Spirit is ministering to you, to your spirit, that the petition that you're bringing before your Heavenly Father would please Him? Would please Him? Hallelujah. And then the next one is just simple. Will God be honored by fulfilling this? By Him fulfilling this, would it be an honor to Him? Would He be honored? Does my request to claim this promise contradict God's word in some way? That's a good one to look at. Maybe your prayers aren't being answered, but you are. So, God, hold on. It's because that request that you're bringing before your Heavenly Father, that request to claim that promise would contradict the word of God. God cannot lie, and He's not going to contradict Himself. So you can give up on that one. You need to change that one around. That's not going to work. Then the last one I need you to write down is, if God fulfills this promise, will it further my spiritual growth? God's not going to do anything that would take you away from Him, that is going to hinder your spiritual growth for Him. So that promise that you're begging for, that promise that you're seeking, that you're waiting on, that you're believing for, and it still hasn't came to pass. Not saying that all of them have. Because it hasn't came to pass doesn't mean that God is not going to answer them. It just may be not your season. But while you're waiting, I just encourage you to do that self-investigation of yourself and check out the request that you're making. And see if God fulfills, if He fulfills this promise, would it further your spiritual growth? If it would hinder your spiritual growth, bye-bye. That's one more you can check off your list. And then once we have satisfactorily answered these questions, then inheriting God's promises depends on three requirements. After we have successfully answered these questions, and then we'll look at the three requirements. First, let's get right into it. We need to have faith. We need to have faith. See, our Father wants us to trust Him. You hear me speak about this all the time. We teach all the time about faith and trusting God. How, what it really means to trust God. Examples of trusting God. The examples that Jesus left us of trusting His Father. We need to have faith. And our Father wants us to trust Him. And it says that He rewards those who trust Him. Amen? Genesis 15 and 6. Also Hebrew 11 and 6. He rewards those who trust Him, who have faith in Him. And second, we must be obedient to whatever we know is His will for us. We would never obtain His best if we knowingly disobey. But His will for us. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we jump into marriages, and we know that's not right. The Holy Spirit is not connecting and telling you that that's right in your spirit. It's not bearing witness to your spirit that petition to have that man over there, that woman over there, is pleasing God. So we get disobedient because we want it. So when we look at number two for the three requirements, we don't fit that requirement. We're not being obedient to whatever we know is God's will for us. So again, I remind you, you will never obtain God's best if you knowingly are being disobedient to him. And then the third one I wanted to mention to you is we must have patience. We must have patience. That there to remind and say it over and over again. We must have patience and be willing to wait for the Lord's perfect timing. For whose perfect timing? The Lord's perfect timing. Not your pastor's perfect timing. Not your perfect timing. Not your mother's or your spouse's. But we must be patient and wait for the Lord's perfect timing. You know, doing these things is well worth our while. It's for our benefit. Considering the blessing that he longs to give us, it's for our benefit. You see, God's promises declare his intentions to graciously bestow blessings in our lives. They fall into several categories, and understanding the difference will help us know how to claim the blessings our Father has stored for us. Now, some biblical promises are general, and then some biblical promises are limited. And let me just break that down for you. So this means that certain pledges involve a specific person, let's just say, or maybe a specific time or specific purpose that may not apply to us. For instance, Genesis 18 and 10 are shared center of sons, right? Now, we cannot simply just claim that promise, assuming that God would do likewise for us. Now, he certainly can use such passage to impress upon your spirit his desire to bless you in that way. But we must guard against grabbing promises randomly and then expecting them to be fulfilled no matter what. We just grab onto this and we just expect for it to be fulfilled, and it may not be the promise for you right now in your season or what's going on in your life. These scriptures contain many unconditional promises, assurance whose fulfillment requires nothing on your part. For example, God has said that he will bear our burdens daily. Even before we even accepted him in our hearts, God's word was unconditional, that he would bear our burdens daily. That's in Psalm 68. He also said in Hebrew that he would never leave us nor forsake us. It was nothing that we did, nothing we can do. He still, his word was unconditional. John 14 said, he will come again. That's unconditional scriptures. It is nothing you can do. I don't care if you denounce him. I don't care if you say you don't believe him. I don't care if you try to start your own atheist belief or your own universal where you believe in every God around you. He still is the one and only true God, and he is coming back. He will return, and there's nothing that you can do about it. John 14 and 30. See, those are unconditional promises. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? So scriptures contain many unconditional promises. Again, it's assurances. Assurance for that those fulfillments require nothing on our part. But we also find many conditional promises, which are guaranteed with if or then stipulation. Look, Proverbs 35 and 6. Hallelujah. Let's just look at that quickly here. Proverbs 35 and 6. Proverbs 35 and 6 says, well, let's start at 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Okay? All right? So now these here was conditional. That's a conditional scripture.
Why, you may ask? Why is that a conditional scripture? Well, let me explain to you that the stipulation that goes with that scripture says, if you, my sister and my brother, if you trust in the Lord, not just for something, but if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, and if you lean not on your own understanding, so not as far as what the world may tell you or try to teach you, this is God's way, and what used to be God's way has now changed to this new era. No. But if you lean not to your own understanding, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then it says the other stipulation, and in all of your ways, not just when you're in the pulpit, my sister, my brother, not just when you're at church, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. That means in your home. That means in your car. That means on your job, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And then he will make your path straight. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, let's just go. Go to the right. We're going to go to 1 John. 1 John is going to take us to another path. Let's see what 1 John has to tell for us, okay? Now, this is going to be New Testament, 1 John. So if you get to New Testament and you get to 2 Peter, after you pass 2 Peter, you can go ahead and knock on the door. That's where 1 John is. Okay, we're going to go to 1 John. And let's just read chapter 1, and let's do verse 9. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, he will be faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So, what's the conditional there? Have you already figured it out? The stipulation is that if we confess our sins, we've got to confess our sins. We have to repent. If we confess our sins, then he is faithful. He's faithful and he's just. And he will forgive our sins. And he will purify us from all unrighteousness. So if you confess your sin, regardless what man says that they can forgive you or not, he will forgive you. He will purify you from all unrighteousness. If you confess your sin, if you trust him, if you believe in him, see, stipulation, we have to act and do something. Conditional scriptures. God delights in meeting his children's needs and desires. And his promises is for our benefit. Our benefit. But he also makes one promise to unbelievers. When a lost person requests forgiveness of sin and receives Jesus as a Savior, that individual will be saved. According to John 3:16. We all know that, right? We must confess our sin. We must receive him as our Savior. You know, so many times that we get into the Word and we get into the Bible and we turn our nose up, and we spoke about that online a couple broadcasts ago. Just how we can, why aren't you bringing anyone into the kingdom? Why aren't you bringing anyone into God's family? Not just someone to just join the church, but into the family. Because, you know, sometimes we don't want people to get where we are. Amen?
sometimes we want people, we invite people just to come to church to see how powerful we are, what we're doing. Look at my title. Look at what I'm doing. But I'm talking about inviting someone into the family of God, truly introducing them to let God use them as a living vessel. You know, or we pass by someone and we want to show them how big our cross is and look down. May not be where you're at yet. Or they can say something wrong, or they tell you they watched a movie and you just jump all over them, you know, and just go off on them, literally. You know, I really experienced it, and I know that you saw someone do this to someone. Just jump all over them. Oh, you're this and you're that, and, you know, I don't watch that. I don't say this. I don't. You were dirty at one time, too. And we look dig dirty deep down enough, we'll find some dirt down there now. So watch yourself. Don't you let God expose your dirt in the front of them. Because you got some dirt down there too. So we sometimes don't want to see anybody else get saved. We don't want to see the sinner man get saved. You said, but they did me so wrong. I don't want them saved. I don't want to lead them to the Lord. They're just a liar, and they do this, and they do that. I don't want them there. It's not up to you. You're still being held to account. And repeat after me. Forgiveness is not an option. Forgiveness is not an option. You don't have an option of whether you're going to forgive or not forgive. Amen? You wanted God to look at that same room when it was time to forgive you of your sins. You wanted him to say, forgiveness is not an option. I forgive you, my brother. I forgive you, my sister. Yeah, I know they probably did you wrong. Somebody may have did you wrong on your job or in your marriage. And you may have thought you were going to be married forever, but it didn't work out that way. They were unfaithful. They lied. They were abusive, whatever it was. Forgiveness is not an option. Now, it does not mean that you're going to get back with that person. It does not mean that you have to watch, stand by, and be abused by them. It does not mean that. But it does mean that you have to have true forgiveness in your heart. True forgiveness in your heart. Forgiveness is not an option. Have you acted upon the promises of God? Have you acted upon the promises of God? The promises that we just went over. For example, that he would bear our burdens daily. Are you allowing him to bear your burdens daily? Or are you trying to struggle around with them? Are you all slouched over and puffed over because you're trying to carry these burdens yourself? If you're still talking about them every day to everybody, you say you're still carrying them. Even if the words you may say is that, oh, I gave that to God. If you're burning it up, still talking about it, wiring it around, you're still carrying those burdens. It says he would never leave us nor forsake us. Are you allowing your heart and your spirit to relax because you know that he is with you? And that rod and that staff comforts you? Are you accepting that comfort? Have you acted upon that promise today? The promise that he's promised you. He will come again. Are you watching yourself? Are you living your life accordingly to he will come again? Are you trying to help someone up along the way because you know he will come again? Hallelujah. Have you delighted in the Lord today? Have you delighted in the Lord today? Have you asked God to forgive you of your sins today? And if not, why not? Don't delay. Don't delay. Once you accept Christ, there's many more promises waiting for you. Don't delay it. What are you waiting for? You know, Gideon was a man who experienced great anxiety. convinced that God had abandoned the Israelites. He had to thresh grain in a wine press to keep it hidden from his enemies, the Midianites. And he believed that his family was one of the weakest and that he himself was one of the least of men. But God called Gideon, who in no way regarded himself as a man of strong capacity. Let's get that out and remember that. He never thought that he would be able to lead the fight against the Midianites. Imagine his stress. He's feeling less than anything, and now God is calling them to lead the Midianites. But he obeyed, and he gathered his army. And you know the story, only to have the Lord send most of his army home before the battle. He gathered up all he could. He gathered up anything and anybody. Come on. You know, I'm trying to be obedient to the Lord here, but I can't do this on my own. Come on. He went gathering. And then the Lord said, but I want to show you my power. I want to show you me. So the Lord sent most of his men back home, even before the battle started. And though this turn of events would give another anxiety to him, can you imagine? He's really now about to have a panic attack. Israel was victorious because it was the Lord who won the battle. He wanted him to show Gideon, it is I who lives inside of you is going to win this battle for you. It's not all your thousands and thousands of men. And in the process, Gideon learned just how powerful and personal his God was. You should read that in Judges chapter 6. You should read that story. Hallelujah. Sometimes the things that you're going through, if you just be obedient, God is trying to show you the power that you have because you've invited him to come and live inside of you. He's trying to be personable with you. He wants you to know on a one-on-one basis, I've got your back. And as Gideon discovered, knowing God intimately is just one of the keys to dealing with worry, dealing with stress. And so those who handle anxiety well, you know, inwardly or outwardly, know the Lord in a deeply personal way. That's where you can get the understanding that these people say, how do you have this much peace through this storm that you're riding through? Because they have a personal relationship. It's an intimate relationship, both inwardly and so it will show outwardly. Amen? They know the Lord in a deeply personal way. And they're the ones who calmly perceive where others are drowning in stress. You know, sometimes people say, oh, just many two-shoes people get on my nerves. Or you say, you know, how are these people so happy in the morning times? And you know what? I'm just happy any time that I can say thank you, Jesus. And I have, he has taken out the time to touch me, wake me up, allow me to clothe myself, take care of my personal issues, to come and present myself out into this world. Why shouldn't I look my best? Why shouldn't I be at my best? And I'm a happy person. Why shouldn't I be happy whatever time of the day? I don't have to wait until a certain hour of the day before I become happy with the Lord. So yes, I am. I am a happy person wherever you see me, whenever you see me. Hallelujah. So that's how they do it, you know. Most people will tell you, I just really don't worry. I pray or I read the word. I trust God. Because these simple statements point to a way of life rather than a method that you use, but a way of life. And that way of life is centered on Jesus Christ. and instead learning to know him in his fullness. So as we close tonight, man's method for handling anxiety serves only to distract or to numb you up from stress. But as soon as you take it, all of that alcohol is out of you, the liquor is out of you, if you gossip or you fornicate or whatever it is, method that you've used, man's method is just a distraction. It'll just numb you up. It doesn't even take you out of the situation. It just kind of puts little boundaries on it. You know, it covers up the stuff just for a minute, but it's invisible. You still see through it. You can still see those struggles, so you drink a little more. You can still see those struggles, so you cry and you pull out a little bit more hair. You cut yourself a little bit more. You stress a little bit more. But God's way is to reveal who he is through the Holy Spirit's teachings. And then in that process, God's way is to replace our fretfulness with his peace, to replace our stress with his love, to replace our down on being down on ourselves, low self-esteem. He's wanting to replace that with his joy, with his comfort. And we have to fight against anxiety with prayer. He's given us a way out. We are not stuck. We have to learn the value of prayer. Hallelujah. We're going to close right there tonight, and we're going to pick up tomorrow just talking a little bit again about fighting anxiety with prayer. Before we close tonight, I challenge you again. Look at yourself. Do that self-examination. And as you journal something tonight about how good God has been to you today. In your journaling today, you still have to write a lot. But just journal something just to see, have you repented for your sins today? Journal something and just see, am I allowing God's unconditional promises to be used and applied to my life? Am I also allowing the conditional promises, which are guaranteed if I act on it? Am I allowing that to be applied in my life tonight? And you may say, Minister Vaughn, I'm not even for sure how to reach God. I'm not for sure if I even know the God that you're speaking of. Well, you know, God is love. And all you have to do is accept his love. This is a great time right now. Why don't you just repeat the words after me? Just open up your heart. Believe the words that you repeat in your heart. You will be a new creature in Christ. Invite him to come and live inside of you. And let him change your way of thinking. It's been simple. Here we go. Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I receive all that your shed blood bought for me on that cross. Come live inside of me. Show me your way, your direction. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things have passed away. Now, a little bit about that. Your friends may still try to remind you of all the things that you've done. But inside of you, God said you are a new creature in Christ. All of those things, he has wiped it away. You have a clean slate with God starting right now. And you have an exciting, miraculous life to live with God starting right now. Now, are you still going to be in this world? Yeah. So are you still going to have trials and tribulations and troubles? And yes, you are. But now you get to live by the promises that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You get to live by the promises that, you know, he's coming back again. You get to live by his promise that he will bear your burdens daily. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is now your Savior. He has an arm of comfort for you. And remember, wherever you're at and whatever you're going through, he always has a way of escape for you. For you. Amen? For you. So you are not saved. And I invite you to reach out and tell somebody of your decision to follow Christ. You can reach me here at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can leave a message here at the Blog Talk if you would like. This is your minister, host, friend, sister, aunt, mother, Von Dillon, and I broadcast live from San Antonio, Texas. Until the next time, remember, I love you, but God loves you more. So you be the best you that you can.